if we don't get blown away, we'll take a moment together. As I prepared for this morning, I read many commentaries and posts about Jesus breaking social, racial, gender barriers and norms to speak with the woman at the well, this very famous story. I read an essay that expanded on the cultural significance of this woman's sexual impurity. Some even went so far as to suggest that she was a sex worker. Mary Magdalene gets the same rap from many theologians. And the culture study, I believe a rigorous cultural theological study rejects those interpretations. See, I grew up in the fundamentalist evangelical church in the 80s and the 90s. When I think back to those foundational years, those teachings, the construction of my theology, and my beliefs about myself, I can see so clearly how the cord of purity culture and purity systems ran through all of it. A purity-focused interpretation of our scripture this morning, where Jesus interacts with this woman, becomes fertile soil then for a theology of shame, guilt, and exclusion, one which I have and continue to deconstruct in my own life. Nadia Boltz-Weber, a Lutheran pastor, writes, "Our purity systems, even those established with the best of intentions, do not make us holy. They only create insiders and outsiders." The irony of taking a passage meant to blow open the church doors to all people, cultures, and genders, and using it as a proof text for purity-focused theology framework is not lost on me. Theological belief systems that create insiders and outsiders are entirely opposed to the message of Jesus. I believe that this is a story not about morality and sexual purity. It's not a story about sin. Rather, it is the story about love that transcends all things, love that is available to all people. Let us begin then by situating ourselves in the narrative. Prior to this passage, in John chapter 3, we hear the well-known conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, containing that most famous Bible verse, scrawled on poster boards and at sporting events and up on billboards, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Our woman at the well in today's passage is juxtaposed with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Jew. The woman at this well, a loathed Samaritan in a purity system, a system that clearly marks who she is, and in this system, she is securely on the outs. He, Nicodemus, is a respected male scholar, a teacher in a patriarchal culture. He's confidently in. Yet, he comes under the cover of darkness, she, with the sun high in the sky at noon. Nicodemus responds to Jesus with questioning and doubt. The woman at the well responds with devotion and a total life transformation. Jesus boldly engages with this woman, and they share a robust exchange. It is worth noting that this is the longest recorded conversation between Jesus and anyone in the New Testament. She was certainly worth his time and attention. I am struck not only by Jesus' barrier-breaking audacity to ask this woman for a drink, but the courage and confidence with which she responds. There's no suggestion of hesitation in her. Rather, she dives right in. "How is it that you, a Jew, can ask me a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman." Have you ever wondered why she didn't just walk away? Why didn't she turn away from this inappropriate man who asked her for water? I immediately want to know this woman. She's intrepid, bold, and smart. She understands both the complexities of her culture and her faith practice. She is also thirsty, thirsty for the life-giving water that Jesus has to offer. Jesus tells this woman that he knows who she is, a woman who's been married many times before and now is with another man. A deeper look into the culture of this time helps us understand why this is not a passage about shame. While women in the time of Jesus did have some legal rights, they could be educated and valued members of society, They did not have autonomy over who they would marry. That was the role of their father, the bride having little say in the match. In Jewish law, only husbands could initiate a divorce. What's more, widowed or divorced women were expected to marry, and in the first century, it was acceptable to cohabitate as an alternative to marriage. If you're really interested in diving into this, there's a terrific book I discovered. You can ask me about it later. These facts about her relationship, history, and her current living arrangements had nothing to do with shame or sin or the need for repentance. The text itself says nothing about any sin that she has committed, and Jesus offers her no forgiveness. Commentators suggest that sin in the book of John isn't spoken of from the perspective of morality. Rather, it is spoken of as unbelief or the inability or unwillingness to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and God. Our woman in today's passage, she is a beautiful example of passionate belief in the person and divinity of Jesus. The discourse between Jesus and the woman at the well is profound and lovely. When this unusual, daring stranger offers living water with its everlasting thirst-quenching properties, she responds by saying, "Sir, give me this water." Jesus then revealed all that he knew about her. He tells her these things about herself, not to highlight her sin, but to show her who he is. Once the woman at the well realizes she is speaking to a prophet, she immediately dives into the theological sticking point between the Samaritans and the Jews. She asks about the true place of worship. Jesus again surprises her, telling her that the day is not just coming, but that the day is here, when it is no longer about the place where you worship, but rather about the way you worship, in spirit and in truth. Jesus is revealing to her that he is the one to worship. Now is the time to worship God, not in one sacred place, but in the very person of Jesus. I am he. This beloved Samaritan woman goes from this encounter and becomes a messenger of the good news to her entire community. She becomes a witness, an evangelist, a missionary. The love of God transforms her and becomes her purpose and defines her identity. I see this interaction as the fulfillment of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Not just the Jewish people or men or the scholars and teachers, not just the privileged or the people who sit in the right pews or pray certain prayers in certain places, but all people. God so loves the world. The woman in our story has been justified through faith and is discovering peace with God through Jesus Christ, as we read this morning in the book of Romans. I don't think Jesus was trying to teach us about breaking barriers. I think Jesus was moved by love for the woman at the well. This love, this is the foundation for equality and diversity and inclusion and radical acceptance in the kingdom of God. In this beautiful encounter, we see the doors of the kingdom not only opened wide, but torn from their hinges, opening the kingdom of God to everyone. Nothing would. No societal rules or gender roles or purity systems or socioeconomic status. No race or culture or status or standing. Nothing can stop God's love. Perhaps you and I can make pilgrimages to the well with Jesus, interior ones. Lent is a practice for interior pilgrimage, where we are paying attention to our own mortality, to our own belovedness, and to the presence of God in all things. Our interior pilgrimage to the well may be to the communion table, or to a church pew, maybe to the choir risers. Maybe it will be immersed in nature, or in the bathroom stall at a bad day of work. Maybe our interior pilgrimage will be in a hospital room, or a funeral home, or a soup kitchen. Maybe it will be to our own kitchens, through tears and laughter, in celebration or grief, through service or worship, in scarcity or abundance, alone or in community with others. Jesus beckons us to come to the well, to be transformed by his love, to find our purpose and passion in his extravagant good news. Jesus reveals himself to us not as a judge, arms crossed and disappointed, but as the one who knows us fully and loves us perfectly. May we, like the Samaritan woman, be transformed by our encounters with Jesus and become beams of light, openers of doors, quenchers of thirst in this dark, isolated, parched world. I come to the well to get what the world can't give me. I come not for judgment or shame, I have plenty of that for myself already, but for mercy, grace, peace, and love. May the water of Jesus become an internal spring within us. May it quench our thirst, renew our spirit, and embolden our purpose. May we, like this beloved woman, go from this place into our sphere of influence with passion for the good news of Jesus. May we too be transformed by the love of God in ways that bring love, justice, equity, belonging, thriving, and unity into our communities. Thanks be to God for this astonishing woman at the well. Thanks be to God for his all-encompassing, life-transforming love.